All right, welcome back to the Black Techies Podcast, where black culture meets the world of technology. I'm your host, David, a.k.a. Pacastilla, a.k.a. Just Processing. I'm joined once again by Herb, Roberto, and Dominique. What up, fellas? You can talk. It's okay.
What up, boss?
You know, in the pros, there's like a guy behind the camera that gives us these cues.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought y'all heard me when I said what up. All right.
No, but I heard you, but, you know.
Oh.
But I was just waiting for the guy with the cue card to pop up.
Yeah.
But as you all can tell by the title of this video / podcast, we got some stuff to talk about. But so just kind of jumping right into it. Obviously, we all kind of know what happened with George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and hope Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
So like we all know what happened. We're not going to recount it, but today we kind of wanted to focus on the social aspect, the tech aspect of what's going on, and maybe even kind of dispel a few myths surrounding Black Lives Matter and all of that. But just to kind of so originally we were going to do like a video series where everyone was going to record a snippet of them talking about their experiences and how all of this is affecting them. But I decided, you know, we might as well just make a podcast and just talk about it. So I kind of wanted to go down the line, I guess, and kind of get your, you know, brief perspective of like what's going on and like have you ever been in those kind of situations where, you know, you get stopped by the police and you were going the speed limit and there's nothing wrong with you, but, you know, or you've been followed around in the store or something like that. So I guess we can start with Dominique, if you would like to share.
So I will be very brief because I can talk about this for years, but
what we are.
I've never actually had a negative interaction with the cops. And I say that I've never had a negative, when I say a negative interaction, I've never had a negative outcome. I've never been thrown anywhere. I've never been handcuffed or anything like that. Part of that, I believe, is due to my eloquence, right? When I speak, I sound like one of the good blacks. I also have friends that are in law enforcement. Where in both places I have family, back where I'm from in Vegas, I have family that were cops. And in here, my best friend is a state trooper. So I name drop for show. But even with all of that, and even with me never having one, I have a slight aneurysm every single time a cop gets behind me, whether the lights are on or not. As soon as they get behind me, I tense up. I'm more likely to make a driving error with them behind me than I am with them not there, because my heart beats fast, whatever. I think that's a panic attack. I don't have them other than dealing with the cops. So I don't know that that's what it is, but I get sweaty and all that good stuff. And whenever I get pulled over, you know, I turn the car off. I put the keys on the dashboard. I put my wallet on the dashboard. I turn off everything. I roll all the windows down and I put my hands, on the steering wheel, just like this. And for those that are just listening, that's the hands up, don't shoot posture. I just keep my hands open on the steering wheel. I don't even grip the steering wheel because I need you to see. I don't care if you need me to grovel. I think it doesn't, like, some people are like, I'm a black man, I'm proud and all that. I'm not that proud. I need to go home to my kids. My daughters deserve for me to do whatever I need to do to get home to them. And so I do all of, yes, sir, no, sir. Here's I have my driver's license and registration for you right here. And then I put my hand and I reach for everything slowly. And it's sad that I have to do that, but I do have to do it. I'll tell a quick story and then I'll be done. I got pulled over in Murfreesboro, a small city outside of Nashville for those listening elsewhere. And I got pulled over. My tags were bad. It was my bad. And I pulled over to the side. I did my normal ritual, had everything up, had my hands like this. And I glanced in my side view mirror as the cop was approaching, and it happened to be a black female cop, but I didn't move because, of course, you still don't want to make them feel threatened either. So I didn't, like, relax or anything. I kept my hand. She walked up, and she looked in the car. She said, boy, I ain't gonna do nothing to you. But she could tell she had to bring that down because she could tell that I was tense. And I just appreciated it that I didn't have to, you know, like it just anytime I see a black cop, and not that all black cops are good, but I just don't assume that a black cop's gonna kill me because I'm black. And so whenever I see a black cop, it's just like a cyber, like, whew, even if I'm getting a ticket, give me the ticket, y'all. Like, I'm going to start asking them when they pull me over, officer, could you please write me all the tickets? Write me all the tickets. Let's not belabor this at all. Give me the tickets. And if you need me to get out of the car, I need you to open the door. I need you to reach across me and get this seatbelt off me. And I need you to throw me out the car. Can you do that for me, please, officer? Because you're not going to catch me making no moves with my hands. I'm doing just like this the whole time. You hear me? So yeah. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I think I think there isn't, you know, there aren't too many black folk, you know, in the country today that haven't had that kind of experience. At some point in time, either be affected by it directly or indirectly or by proxy. I know, speaking for myself, there's two instances that come to mind. One, when I was in school at Alabama State, and that one was more comical than anything else, but it was still kind of nerve-wracking. It was after, you know, we had our first performance. This is way back in, well, I'm not going to say when, because I'm not going to date myself, but...
1963, right before Martin Luther King.
You funny, bruh. You funny. But, yeah, at any rate, we're coming from the Gulf Coast Classic. And me and a couple other cats in the band from D.C. decided to drive back as opposed to catching the bus with everybody else. Bad mistake. And we get about, you know, halfway the campus back to Montgomery from Mobile. And... next thing you know, we're, you know, boys driving, and whoop, whoop. I was like, oh, God. We're still in uniform, by the way. Anybody that's been associated with a, you know, with a HBCU marching band knows that you're pretty you're pretty conspicuous in uniform wherever you go. So, you know, there's no way to confuse you with anybody else. This guy, you know, evidently, you know, he pulled
found
us over.
A way to be confused.
Yeah. Pulled us over. He saw that we, you know, the guy that was driving the car had DC tags, was out of, you know, out of state. And he's like, well, you know, we saw your tags. Like, well, what do? We weren't speeding. Well, your vehicle fit the description of something that was going on in the area. And I'm like,
oh, is it?
Yeah, really? We're in uniform. You see musical instruments in the back. Where do you think we're coming from? So, that one was really more comical than anything else, but one more recently was really scary. And I was a participant in the gig industry, like a lot of folks are. You know, I was, you know, doing my little side hustle with Instacart a couple of years back. And it was in Arlington, Virginia, actually. And I was on Wilson Boulevard, pulled out of the Whole Foods, getting ready to make a delivery. And, you know, I get pulled over at the light, maybe about a quarter of a mile away from the store. Whoop, whoop. And okay, I'm like, okay, well, why am I getting pulled over? I didn't do anything. And, you know, go through the regular procedures, you know, make the Wu-Tang sign, put my hands up on the thing, and, you know, make sure I, you know, everything's visible. And while I'm waiting, you know, one officer, you know, I just looked on my driver's side and I was like, all right, well, you know, he's cool. It's like, okay, you know, he's in the car, you know, writing or doing something. His partner, on the other hand, gets out of the passenger side, and I look in the rear view on the passenger side and I see him. I was like, okay, he's out of the car. So, you know, I get my license and stuff and pull it out. And I look again and he has his weapon drawn. And he's, you know, walking up on the passenger side of the car with his weapon drawn. And at that time, I'm freaking out because he's about maybe a good 20 feet away from my window. And I'm like, whoa, Slim, why you got your weapon out? I ain't do nothing. You know, I got groceries in the back. I'm working. And his partner, you know, saw him and was like, no. And he got out and really just kind of drew him back. And I was like, why did he have his weapon out? And he couldn't, he was fumbling to explain it. And I was really freaked out because this dude's weapon was practically in my car, gun drawn, and if I had did something out of turn, I was like, he could have shot. And I was pretty freaked out for a little bit after that. But yeah, that's, I think a lot of folks, I'd be remiss to say that, there a lot of guys have kind of gone through something similar or been affected by something similar, and that's why, what's gone on, not just with George Floyd, but with a number of people over years have been, it's traumatic, it's triggering.
Yeah.
Let me say something about that real quick before Roberto goes in. I know that they have a dangerous job, right? And they have the right to go home just like we have the right to go home. But they signed up for that dangerous job. You don't get drafted into the police. And so I think that, even if you're scared, call for backup. Don't do anything till you call. They need to change the training so that, because it just should never be okay for you to pull your weapon and almost shoot somebody that didn't deserve it. And that should come with penalties. You know what I mean? You just shouldn't be able to, you should err on the side of you losing your life over err on the side of you taking a life because you're scared. And I don't know, man, they got to do something about the penalties because it's just not heavy enough for these people. They all think they're going to get off and they have to, this is one step, all four of those dudes were at least charged. The prosecutor's already copping out, talking about it's going to be hard to convict them. So, I know what that means. They're going to get off like the Rodney King. But at least they get charged, and hopefully it's a step in the right direction. I'm going to let Roberto go, but man, it really shouldn't be that just because you're scared, you get to pull your gun out on me.
Yeah.
That's rough. It's as I sat here listening, I thought about the 20 or 30 times I could say of the times I've gotten pulled over. And not to misrepresent myself as some goody two shoes or something like that, or misrepresent myself as some, what's code word for the N word again? Is it thug? That's right. Thug.
Or urban person.
Urban youth. So not to try and make myself to be a choir boy or some kind of deviant, to Candace Owens' point, and yes, I did just reference her. We like to always whoever gets attacked by the cops all of a sudden is a saint, and that's not the reality of the situation, which is completely irrelevant to any to anything. But we gonna let her use her First Amendment right to spew the excrement that usually comes out of her mouth. But anyway, sidebar real quick. Yeah. Go ahead. I think the hard part is that we have a hard time, especially this panel, who, we're all eloquent, intelligent people. And I hate when people call me articulate or any of that crap because I know what that actually means.
It's definitely codified language.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I had to learn a lot of different dialects growing up, moving from New York to Decatur and then leaving Decatur every summer and spending my summers in St. Albans, Queens. And you have to switch back. And I have a mom that's Trinidadian and a father that's Panamanian. I have a lot of different accents floating around in my head. So the easiest thing I could do is talk like this because that's what my brain understood. This isn't, of course, I can whiten my voice if I need to. When I was job hunting, I had to all the time.
We all have to.
And when the cops, when the cops come up to your door, you make sure, again, you got to smile. You got to be completely nice. You got to make sure you take that bass out your voice, like your mom used to tell you when she, you fussing at her or whatever. And it's so many things that we have to do that even when something happens, like a George Floyd, and all of it's on camera, as Black people, we still stop and we're like, dang, what did he do? Like, how did this happen? Like, what did he do? Not to justify what happened to him, but to wonder, is it okay for me to be hurt for him before the world starts telling me, like, nah, 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 you missed what happened right before they cut to this. Right before he cut to this, he had picked up a car and threw it at somebody and karate chopped a school bus full of nun children. You know, like, it's so much that you have to go through. And then it's hard because I lived in Rockdale County for a number of years. I used to be the manager at the Circuit City in Conyers, Georgia. And I could honestly, I got pulled over by, I can't remember his name is Steven or Officer Stevens. Or if his, like, his first name is Steven, his last name is Steven. I used to call him Officer Steven all the time. I got pulled over so many times that I knew the guy's name. And I would come around the corner, and I was driving a WRX. I'd come around the corner, and again, I lived 5 minutes away from my job. If I had to be to work at 7, I'd leave my house at 6:45. So I knew I had enough time if I wanted to stop by the Sonic and grab me a little slushy or whatever, you know, like grab me a coffee from the Quick Trip, whatever I needed to do. Wouldn't be driving fast. I would make sure I have it in second or third gear to make sure it wasn't loud. Because it's a stick for you children who don't know what that is. I have to manually adjust my gears. And again, I'm in Conyers. So there's lifted trucks and Harley Davidsons everywhere, much louder pipes than me. And every day, if I was going to lunch, if I was going home, or if I was coming to work, every day for like a 2 month time period, it felt like I was getting pulled over, or every other day. Let me not be hyperbolic. It was maybe every other day. And I get pulled over and he'd be like, hey, oh, hey, how's it going? And I'll be like, hey, what's up? You coming in the store? And the worst part about it is that he was one of the people that had that did details at our store. Like during nighttime, there was a movie theater in the same parking lot. So kids would come over there and just hang out and play on our video game systems. You know, Guitar Hero was big back then. They'd come in there and just hang out, and the cop would come in there and kind of shoo him along. So I knew him. He'd come in my store, and I'd be wearing my uniform. I had cornrows at this time. But I would be in there in a Circuit City uniform.
Ain't the urban hairstyle of...
Right? You know, this is 2006. You know, I'm driving a WRX, and it's not like I'm driving... And again, this is one of those things that we always think to ourselves, like, well, maybe, is he driving a Challenger? Does he have his music up loud? Was he wearing a gold chain? Does he have any gold teeth?
Then it was the Impala.
Yeah, the Impala. You know, does he have a box Chevy? What is he driving that is drawing him attention? Because I had a BMW, and that made it worse. I'm driving, and I get pulled over. And he walk up to the car, and after a while, he would start saying, hey, what's up, man? You really need to change those pipes. And I'm like, I checked in the there's no noise ordinance that says I can't have these pipes. These are DOT approved. And I'd be talking to him, and sure enough, a 10-inch lifted truck with a big Confederate flag would fly past us, or a Harley would come by, and you know, those things are super loud. And I'm like, I'm sorry, let me wait for the cars to go by. I can't hear you because their pipes are so loud. And I was like, now what were you saying? Because my car's still on, it's still idling, and I can hear you. Or your car's too low. I'm like, I didn't lower it. This is how it came from the factory. Are those wheels regulation? You know, we found somebody that I remember, and I'm sure that some of my friends I used to work with at Circuit City, I was riding one of my good friends, Hunter, who I'm still friends with on Facebook now. And we went to lunch at him and I think somebody else in the back. I can't remember who it was. I'm driving maybe 10 minutes up the street to go to like Applebee's or something. Let's just call it Applebee's. Since everybody was, you know, protesting to get inside of an Applebee's, let's just use that. No curfew for them, by the way. We go there. I'm driving back. I get pulled over. Cop walks up to the door, and he says, can you step out the car? He didn't say license or registration. He didn't say, hey, do you know what I'm stopping you for? None of that. He said, can you step out the car? And I was like, no, I can't. What do you need? This is on 138 in Conyers. I'm like, what do you need? Because I'm not. This car's whizzing by. He's on my passenger side, so he's not getting hit. He's talking over my friend. And he's like, I need you to step out of the car. And I was like, for what? And he's like, you fit the description of somebody who was just involved in a crime in the area. And I look at myself, and I'm like, I'm wearing a name tag and a uniform. And I have two other people in my car that's wearing uniforms. Now, usually, when you're trying to commit crimes, the last thing you want to do is put your name on your shirt or wear a uniform with two other witnesses and then go back to the place that you, I mean, like, what's the logic? And he's like, I just need you to step out the car and don't make it.
Some kind of detective or something?
Yeah, I'm just like, I just don't make it difficult. Don't make it difficult. And I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out. I said, I give you my license. I give you my registration. I said, we're all in here. And of course, my white friends like to speak up and be like, yo, we just came from the Applebee's. It's like 1:45 and we got to be back at the store by 2:00. And, you know, like, we got to go back. I'm not losing my job over this. That's how that situation got diffused. After probably like 10 minutes of us sitting on the sidewalk, of sitting on in the car on the side of the lane. And I shudder to think what would happen if I didn't have them with me. And like that was in 2007, maybe. So fast forward to 2014. I'm jogging in my own neighborhood on the corner of Candler Road and Memorial Drive, again in Decatur, Georgia. And cops pull up to me while I'm running. And I remember I had my big, I was about to say the A word. I had my gigantic Note 3 on my arm, on my armband. And I was running with them crappy Samsung headphones in my ear before they got the AKGs. This was the old, like, just Samsung headphones.
You was trying to weightlift while you was running.
I was thugging it out because my LG tones weren't charged. But the only reason why I heard the car approach me is because I had the crappy headphones in and they were like falling out while I was running. And I heard a car behind me and like driving slowly. And I like looked out the corner of my eye and I turned around. It's a squad car behind me. I stopped running immediately and get out the way and stand in the grass. And I wave at them and they stop because I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I was in y'all way. My bad. Hey. You know, y'all have a good day and get the bad guys or whatever. Because again, inherently, I have no bias against, I have nothing against cops. I don't feel like cops are, like, cops get the job to be like, I can't wait to get this job so I can kill somebody in cold blood. I feel like there's a racist system that they are, unfortunately, they're the COs in this giant jail that's America. That they have to make sure they preserve law for a white supremacist group, but the ruling class elite and all that other stuff. But I'll just say, like, let me finish my story and I'll shut up. So I'm standing there, and again, I fit the description. Now I get it. I'm a black man at this point. I'm probably 150 pounds. I'm 5'9". I have a low haircut. I have like average hair, average height, average weight, average skin tone. I'm not too dark, I'm not too light. So I'm like, okay, I'm the worst guess who person for cops. If you're playing like, does he have a beard? Like, nope, it's just a guy with a mustache. Okay, cool. Close enough. Let's get him. And they're like, you fit the description of somebody that's been stealing TVs in the area. And I said, that's odd because I live in this area and no one's told me that any TVs have been stolen. I have 4 flat screens in my house and I would like to make sure, and, you know, again, stunting on them. Like, I have a little Craftsman house down the street right here. If you want to come, it's fully renovated. If you want to see inside, me and my friend are renting it. Do you want to? And they're like, I just need you to wait here. I say, well, at this time I was working at T-Mobile and I was like, I'm on the clock, you know, in a little bit. So if y'all want to run with me, I can answer your questions, but I haven't seen anybody in the neighborhood. If you know, like, if you want to question me about it, I'll be more than happy to be on the lookout. You want to give me your card? I can tell you if I see somebody, but if you're asking, if it's me, I don't know why you would stop a criminal and say, hey, are you stealing stuff? And they'd be like, hey,
you got me,
bro. Like, go ahead. Hey, man, give me the bracelets. I'll put them on myself. Good. You guys are good. You know, but literally at this point, they're like sitting in the car still. And I'm like, dude, it's July. It's hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, can we move it along? And I'm like, you don't have to walk down with me. I'm about to get behind this tree. I'm about to get in the shade. So, like, they're like, well, we have some complaints about a suspicious person jogging around the neighborhood. And I'm like, I'm wearing a Nike jogging shirt, some Nike shorts, like highlighter yellow shirt. Again, I look like somebody who's jogging in a full jogging outfit while jogging. And I'm sweating. And they're like, let me see your ID. And I was like, I don't have it on me because I'm jogging. Well, why are you outside? Because I can't jog inside my house. It's only a 2-bedroom. And he's just like, well, if you want to be smart, you know, we can make things a little bit more. And I was like, before you threaten me, my house is literally down the street. So y'all are killing my time because my Samsung Health app is beeping saying I need to move up my pace. The little robotic person before there was Bixby, the robotic person is in your ear talking about 25 minutes. And you're like, oh, you guys are killing my pace. I got to go. At this point, I'm upset, but I'm not allowed to be upset because I'm offended. I'm in a neighborhood that I pay to be in. And I knew that I wasn't the majority in that neighborhood. But this is a gentrified block of a black city that I'm now offended because I'm like, this is my neighborhood. And you telling me, I've never heard, no one's ever told me that there's been robberies. They told me this place was safe. So now I'm offended twice because my neighbors ain't told me somebody's been stealing something. So maybe they think I'm the one stealing it. So you know what? Next time the old lady across the street leave her trash out, I'm going to leave it there. I've stopped trying to be helpful because now y'all making me upset. So I jog back to my house. And again, the cops are driving next to me while I'm jogging because they don't believe me. So I pull up to my house where my Chevy Malibu is parked. And they're like, is that your car? And I was like, yeah. Do you have insurance for it? And I was like, does it matter? It's parked. What's the relevance of my car having? I mean, like, I'm not in it. And I was like, now, you guys give me a second because I'm jogging. I got to go in my pocket. I got to go in my sock where I left my key. I'm just going to reach in my sock and grab my key. I don't have a small gun or anything in there, okay? And, of course, at this point, it's one black cop, one white cop. Neither one of them are amused. And neither am I because, again, you know, I'm jogging before I got to go to work. And this is like right before the iPhone 5 came out. So I'm already annoyed because these people in here acting crazy about this phone to begin with. I go in my sock. I grab my key. I go in my house. And I go to close the door behind me. And one of them puts their foot in the door. It's the black cop, matter of fact. He puts his foot in the door. And the white cop is waiting on the bottom. There's like three steps to get in my house. And I looked at him. And I was like, I'm sorry. Can you close the door? Because I don't want flies in my house. And you letting my cool air out. You can either come in or you can sit, stand outside, but you can't open my door. He's like, you need to leave it open. And at that point, I was like, all right, Berto, you know, you have two options. You can be ignorant and escalate the situation, or you can be ignorant and be funny at his expense and hopefully not escalate the situation. Because as a Capricorn, I really only have two options of being smart and aggressive or being smart and being passive aggressive. So I was like, all right, well, I'll tell you what. I said, DeKalb County about to get a bill. If Georgia Power charged me extra money this month, I'm let me get your badge number so I can make sure y'all gonna pay my extra $2 for leaving this door open. So I go in there, I get my license. I give him my license. He looks at my license. He backs up and looks at the door frame, looks at my license again, looks at the door frame, and he's like, you live here? I was like, well, I unlocked the door with a key. The license address matches the address on the house. Yeah. Do you own the home? No, I'm renting it. I don't own it. Me and my friend are renting the house. Is your friend here? No, he's not. Does it matter if he was? And at that point, my friend was there, and he came out from the back. And Jeremy is a white man from Philadelphia. And he came out there full white man rage about how somebody else was treating his friend.
Oh, I love full white man rage when it's not
there. And they left. And they left quickly because he was like, I can't believe you. He's in his own house. How dare you? How dare you come? And I'm like, can you not? And of course, you know, they do the little, well, you have a good day, sir. We're just trying to keep your neighborhood safe. And I was like, all right, well, loop me in on a group text of whoever's stealing stuff in the neighborhood since obviously it's happening and I'm not getting, Jeremy, you getting into text? I'm not getting any of these group texts about thievery going on in my neighborhood. Like, these are solid, these are real wood floors. This isn't vinyl plank, sir. You know, again, it's because we feel somehow slightly insulated because we're like, okay, I pay my taxes. Not me, not really. I didn't pay my taxes for some years, but, you know, like, I paid them eventually. But, I mean, I don't, my school's in my neighborhood.
The IRS isn't listening to this.
Hey, when I did do my taxes, they owed me money. So, like, they should be happy that I let them hold something. You know, it was more than a $1,200 check. I stimulated the economy for a little bit. So I don't get no statues. You know, people who lost wars still got statues, but I didn't get one. But yeah, we feel insulated because either we are educated, we're eloquent, we know that we're not short-tempered. We know that we don't look like somebody. I mean, like, I have few tattoos. All my teeth are the original material. None of them are metal. None of them have diamonds. And we assume, well, obviously, cop guy, you can see, like, I can't be one of those Negroes you're looking for because I don't fit whatever description that you, I mean, I'm sure you watch CSI or Law and Order where they always make the criminals like super over the top, like spider web tattoos on his eye. And, you know, like one of his, you know, bottom row of his teeth, you know, anything that you can do to say like, I'm not in that stereotype that I assume that you're looking for. But then you realize that that stereotype is your skin. And it doesn't matter if you're an eloquent woman like a Sandra Bland. It does not matter if you are just sitting in your house eating ice cream like Botham Jean. It does not matter if you're Breonna Taylor and you're just sleeping. All that matters is that the wrong people, and I'm sure that somebody's going to be in here with the Blue Lives Matters or not all cops are bad, and they're not, because one of my very, very good friends is right now in riot gear in Seattle trying to protect the city. And I love him and I wish him the best. And I don't think that everybody that's a cop is bad. Just like I hope they don't think that everybody that's black is a criminal or that is somebody that will take their life the first chance they're given. I will roast you in the back seat. And I have before as a teenager, I won't tell none of them stories when I was street racing and I'd be in the back seat of a car, cop car roasting that dude's haircut. But I think we've been desensitized to what it is that we consider a successful traffic stop. Like,
success I didn't is die. Just getting out with your life, yeah.
I didn't die. You know, like, I was fine. You know, like, I got away. I didn't get it. I got a ticket, but that's, hey, that's all I got. I'm happy. At least I made it out without getting handcuffed, without fitting the description, without them feeling like I was about to somehow, while handcuffed and sitting on the floor, I don't know, perhaps perform some kind of hurricane kick or so. I don't know what if hurricane, flying dragon bicycle kick or something is what they're thinking. I watch the Ninja Turtles. I'm not one. So like if you have a gun and a vest and safe, a taser and a billy club, yeah, and I'm unarmed, I don't really like my odds in that fight, especially if you're trained to do this. I'm just some dude, man.
Trained.
Like I grew up the last of four boys. And I fight all the time and I'm not afraid to do it. But the last person I'm about to fight with is somebody who has a gun. Like, I'm not about to fist fight no armed person that legally can kill me. And then it could be like, oh, from 2012 to 2015, Roberto Joseph didn't pay his taxes. And then people might be like, there he is.
That's it.
That's why he was worried about going to jail for tax evasion. And he obviously tried to reach for the cop's gun while he was handcuffed and laying face first on the ground. And the cop had to shoot her in the back of the head because that's, I mean,
the cop deserves to go home. He has a family like everybody else.
I've seen Ip Man. I know they're dangerous.
Well, I think technology, and we were, you know, me, Dave, and Dominique were talking about this offline. Technology has, you know, whether it's by accident or by indirect effect, has, you know, triggered another movement to another reform movement for social, you know, for social justice, social equality. And I think one of the things that, you know, all of us have in common, you know, as black folk and as techies, is that we, you know, we see the relationships there. You know, I mean, Will Smith said, I remember there's a quote that Will Smith said in regards to another scenario kind of like this a while back. It's like, well, racism didn't go away. It's just being recorded now.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is the age, truly the age of citizen journalist, you know, where it comes
to... For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. And, you know, for black folks, you know, it's getting the message to people out there in a way that can't be codified, can't be whitewashed, can't be sanitized. in terms of the realities that a lot of us face when we deal with law enforcement, when we deal with, I don't want to, you know, I know this may sound un-PC for those folks that are listening out there, but, you know, when we deal with Becky or Karen situations, or when we deal with, you know, having to code switch,
mm-hmm.
it's a number of things that, you know, all of us on this panel have, in some form or fashion, have encountered, you know, and like I said, we, you know, we kind of pride ourselves on having a pretty diverse audience, even though we're, you know, blackety black, pro-black, blackety black. But at the same time, it's very important for those audiences to understand that, you know, very seminal events like this one, and this is a tipping point type of event, because you essentially had, you know, 20, 30, 35, 40 some odd cities go up in flames, you know, because people are fed up. And it's not just fed up with the police. It's fed up with the systemic nature of, you know, what's happening to Black people. So, and
I mean, because how is coronavirus racist? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did it go?
Well,
how did it get to America? And then all of a sudden, it's not in Africa, it's not in South America, it's not Central America. It came to America. And now all of a sudden, like, all the inner city Black people are getting sick at a higher rate. And you're just like, I thought it came, like, which one of y'all flew in here on the international flight?
Well, now that being said,
I thought it was 5G.
You know, yeah, 5G, there you go. we ought to have our boy on, you know, he who should not be named, you know, our resident, yeah, he might provide a very unique perspective, but I digress. you know, at the end of the day, it's painful to see this type of tipping point happen, but it's necessary. It's necessary because this generation of, you know, African Americans, they've gotten to the point where the previous generation was, when the civil rights movement hit, when, you know, Martin got shot, when Medgar Evers got shot, you know, when, you know, those four girls in Birmingham went to a church and didn't come out because somebody decided they wanted to burn the church down and blow it up. You know, the common denominator is that you do enough to a population, there's a tipping point.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. There's a thing in politics called the Overton window. And it's about how what becomes normal shifts, right? So like, for instance, Medicare for All is a thing that we're talking about now as like a ubiquitous, like, are you for or against Medicare for All? Not like, what is Medicare for All, right? So the Overton window has shifted from like, that's crazy people talk to, that's a good number of politicians' actual stance on things. And it moves, the window is moved basically because if you go far enough left, then it pulls everything left. Just like if you go far enough right, it pulls everything right, right? So, and I bring that up to say, our Overton window of racism has moved to the side of the fascists, right? To the side of the KKK, so just like he said earlier, just not dying is looked at as success with an interaction, as opposed to fighting for, not even just fighting for, as opposed to equality being ubiquitous, right? As opposed to me just knowing when I walk out my house, I'm gonna come back home. Like, barring random, like a car hitting me, I don't have to worry about being run down. And it's just a whole thing you don't have to think about if you're a white man. You just don't have to think about it. At least if you're a white woman, you still got to think about rape a little bit. But if you're a white man, you can just like, dun, 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 like, you just walk out the house,
yeah,
wear whatever you want to, say whatever you want to whoever you want to, and pretty confidently know you get to come home that day. And I don't know what that's like. I wouldn't give up being black for anything in the world, but that's one thing. If I could just like pop over there real quick, just be like, oh,
rainbow. I mean, you see it in scary movies. I mean, every time they hear a sound, they just like, I'm gonna go downstairs and I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah,
because exactly. I mean,
that's it.
You ain't got fear programmed in you.
Well, I think the other thing that, you know, the use of technology and, you know, kind of pulling the shades back has shown America and folks outside of America is that, you know, this isn't, when people say it's systemic, it's systemic. This isn't just happening in inner city Baltimore, or it's happening in inner city Milwaukee or Chicago. The nature of these protests, you know, is one of the few things that's very encouraging that I've seen. And it's a very diverse cast of people that are not only out there just protesting and, you know, and really saying how much of an injustice it is, but they're actually listening, and they're actually asking questions as to why. Why are the circumstances the way they are? Why are there these types of inequalities in specific places and in specific access to service? And, you know, like, even though we're kind of loosely, you know, sticking to our format here, technology is at the forefront. It's at the forefront of all of it. You know,
So it's funny. I have to end with my own story actually towards the end. But so it's funny how you mentioned the Overton effect. I wonder. I think that's the first time I've heard of it. I wonder if the same can be applied to the way technology has been used or social media rather has been used to kind of highlight all of this. And because of that, now you have all of these companies who now have to put out these statements, who have to kind of make sure they protect their brand and make sure that they show that, you know, they're down for the cause or whatnot, or they're, you know, they're supportive, or they understand. So I like things go right. So you got Ben and Jerry.
Ben and Jerry's are some G's, man. They didn't.
They're allowed to absolutely bring something to the cookout, right?
Yeah, yeah. Ice cream.
I don't trust Ben or Jerry with the potato salad.
Yeah, and I think
you appreciate.
I didn't say they had to bring. You know, they can bring dessert.
Yeah. They got to bring non-dairy ice cream for all the lactose intolerant black people.
Yeah, I think Dave makes a really good point, you know, too, because, you know, you see all these companies, you know, in this age of instant recognition on social media, you make a slip up, it's instant retribution. Yeah, all right.
I'm a Falcons fan, so you know I got to put that little dagger in right now. But look,
you know how much Drew Brees stuff my wife has as a NOLA resident, and shout out to the rest of the Saints for not letting him slide on that, because you know you could.
They let him have it.
Yeah, y'all play for Drew Brees offensive line next year.
I respect the fact that he, you know, honestly, if it was me, I said it. You know, I meant it.
So I said what I said.
Yeah, y'all can kiss my butt pads. You know, like I said it, but like I appreciate the fact that he even attempted to make an apology and be like, you know what, it was tone deaf.
I believe
what I believe, but like I didn't know that. It's, you know, yeah. My wife just texted me. He's like, he just needs to stop talking. Yeah. So my wife is like, she's trying to get the preview.
I would have appreciated the apology if it didn't. It felt iPhone press releases. It felt like what everybody does after they get caught. You know, yeah, after you facepalm, right? After like enough people are like, dog, you can't say that. And they're like, I deeply apologize for anybody who I might have offended, and I've never, my goal is never to hurt people and blah, blah, blah. Ask Drew Brees in a quiet, dark room how he feels about that right now. I guarantee you zero change. And so,
I mean, because
he said this,
if you want to keep it,
the first time he said this.
Hey, but if you want to keep it funky, in America, he can say that, and we will be upset. But again, we don't make up the majority of America, and I'm sure there are people that are like, say it again. I'm sick and tired of them.
Living in country music or NASCAR, then you can have all the goofy, tone deaf, borderline racist opinions that you have. But when your success, when your financial well-being, when the reason that you are Drew Brees and not Andrew Brisoni, the grocery store shift leader.
Did he just say Andrew Brisoni?
Yeah, that's probably his real name. I think Beyonce's real name is Bianca, if you really want to know. Listen,
I mean,
the reason that he is that is
Tony Romo. That would have been the same thing.
Hey, chill. I'm a Cowboys fan. That's my guy. That's the GOAT. Tony Romo's the GOAT. Listen. Tony Romo's the GOAT. We ain't gonna talk. Tony Romo probably out here marching with people. Tony Romo out here like this.
Are you think Jerry Jones out there marching with people?
No, he's out there with the whip.
Jerry Jones, massa.
Called every single player he got and said, "All right, listen, if you want to play with the star on your chest, I don't care. I'll pay whatever fines I have to pay to not pay you. But you won't play it down with the Cowboys. All right? Yeah, Jerry Jones ain't playing these games. But I was saying, Drew Brees, he owes his success to black people. He's playing a game that is 67% black. You can't be out here in this locker room and everybody in the locker room looking at you like, what's that you said, bro? I'm your left tackle. Know this. Maybe I don't fight that hard to get OCU Meora up off you. I just said, he ain't been in the game a long time. I don't know who the marquee. J.J. Watt. I'm not going to block that hard on J.J. Watt when he comes in for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I don't know how many people going. I mean, like, you see how they did Cap. And how many people stopped watching the NFL? And how many people was really down for it now?
I didn't watch for a year.
Now, because stuff is on fire, now everybody is like, oh, we got it. But again, if Drew Brees had said this 6 months ago, I don't think anybody would have really been like, mainstream America wouldn't be like, hey, Drew, you can't say that.
I think
he had said this 6 days ago, we probably still would have been like, hey, Drew, come on, man.
Well, I think
that's now.
I think that's the big difference, and that's, you know, like we were talking about before. That's where technology comes into play at, and I'll be honest with you. To me, there isn't a better technical gift in the world than the advent of Black Twitter, because Black Twitter is an instrument of retribution.
Mm-hmm. And it's the best comedy club in the world.
Real. That's like, I mean, you, man, don't commit no crime and have somebody and have some dubious things that
Black Twitter. Hey, is that me or is that you?
Yeah, it's a wrap. Hello? Hello?
We hear you.
Oh, I'm going to say, damn, Dave, my bad. but yeah, I mean, it's the nature of, you know, how information is being processed and disseminated that has made all the difference in the world in terms of the effectiveness of this outpouring of anger, grief, you know, and pressure, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's real that it's pressure.
Yeah. I mean, and technology can be used by both sides. Yeah. I mean, again, we ain't gonna talk about Russia in 2016, because, like, let's be real, like, y'all voted for that man, not y'all on this.
Thank you for specifying.
But y'all out there, somebody out there listening to this right now is like, well, I voted for him. I thought he was a nice guy. You know, he seemed like he knew. Y'all voted for him with or without the Russian people, with or without this woman's emails or none of that stuff. And also now you got cops using geofencing to just say like, hey, look, we're going to make a geofence area in downtown Atlanta. And anybody whose phone comes in this area, we just going to send them a text that they arrested. And we just going to go find them.
Yeah.
We just like, imagine that you at home. And the Postmates show up and the cop with them. And they're like, hey, go ahead and eat that four-piece, bro. Go ahead and eat that four-piece. Don't eat that biscuit because you ain't getting no juice where you going, bro. Don't do it. I mean, like, that's the reality. And I mean, there's people just walking home that's getting harassed because they in the area. And again, you have to, it's a line of sight. People getting shot with rubber bullets just because they're walking down the street. You know, my little brother, little Morehouse brother, got pulled out the car along with my little Spellman sister, got pulled out the car. They got tased. And you see how swift that justice acted, because we're already in a heightened situation. And I will be the first person to say it. Well, probably not the first, but I'll be the first person to say it on this podcast, that those arrests were highly political, because they know there is no way you're going to get it right now. They're protesting police brutality, and you're going to brutalize somebody on live TV right in front of everybody with six body cams and 13 cameras.
Whatever they get, because that what they did to that young woman was off the chain.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, what happened to the people that broke Freddie Gray's back? Like, what happened to the people that...
Well, you're right.
Well,
shout out to Lando.
I think what we got to do, and it's harder to, it's easier to say than it is to do, but we have to stop. I think, like, right now, there's a potential for change, right? And I don't think that it's positive or beneficial for us to keep telling them how they, keep telling them how they messed up back in the day. Right. Every time they do a good thing, just like a dog, right? Just like when you're training a dog, you just pat them. Good boy. You know, it's way more beneficial. You get way more out of training a dog when you reward them than when you punish them for doing the wrong thing. Right. And so positive reinforcement. Right. So arresting those cops is a good first step. And also what it could do is let other cops, at least for the short period of time. Right now, I don't think cops think it's carte blanche. I think cops are like, yo, even if I'm right, I'm probably going to get arrested, or at least get fired, or at least, you know, something's going to happen, even if I'm right. So it'll give them that pause, right? If a black man got a gun pointed at you, you shoot him. Shoot him in the face. If you got a gun pointed at you, shoot him in the face. I don't care what the color he is. If he pulls a weapon out on somebody, you deserve to defend yourself. But if you don't see that gun, you don't keep your gun in the holster, right? Like, that, I think that it's going to be a positive change, but it's going to happen in baby steps. And I think every time we tell them that, this is what about all that other stuff? I think it has the potential to like set back, stop.
You're right, but I mean, Breonna Taylor was his March and his June. Yeah. Who's been arrested besides her boyfriend that was defending her? It ain't like it was like years ago. I'm like, it was like, this is an active case that's going on right now that we still, and all this unrest is not, and I know people like to say, like, well, y'all don't even know the whole story, and y'all, what about this one? People are still, I mean, there's people, and don't get it twisted. They're, you know, like, I posted something the other day. I said, the protesters are protesting, the looters are looting, and the rioters are rioting. Don't confuse those groups with who's doing what. But all these people that are out there who are actually outside because that they're angry, and not the white kids with skateboards who are just pissed off, and, you know, like, they're out there breaking stuff because they've been inside this whole time.
Yeah, exactly. This is corona and, frustration for a lot
of, you know, people. And their mom won't let them get a tattoo or whatever their problem is. You know, like, not those people who are just enraged and just want to rage out against anything, against any machine. I feel like this is like when I argue with my wife, I understand that if I've done something before this time that I've done something, we argued about that thing and the thing before at the same time. I understand that I set a precedence by doing something wrong, and that this argument is going to be a cumulative argument. That is the same thing that's going on right now in the streets. Like, it's not that, oh, well, this dude, I mean, what, y'all don't even know him. Why y'all so mad? No, because we do know him. Because, as again, and I'm bringing this up because shout out to Dwayne Tate, who forced me to listen to Candace Owens today. And he was like, I think she made a point. I think you want to listen to it. And I was like, I don't think I want to do that. But I was working. I was like, I got 18 minutes to kill. She said, black people are the only people that lift up the lowest of themselves, to lift up the lowest of their classes and defend them tooth and nail. Because George Floyd was not a saint. He was a career criminal. He was high on PCP or whatever she was saying about him. And that does not excuse anybody for taking his life. Like, no matter what he was doing. And again, if that was a white man, if that was an Asian man, that was an Indian man, that was whoever on that floor, it would still be wrong.
I'm not getting any of it.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important distinction to make, because, you know, yeah, I heard that soundbite that she put out, you know, a very myopic soundbite that she put out. You know,
that's what she did.
What they don't, you know, she conveniently leaves out is that, you know, whenever this happens to Black folk, you don't hear the narrative being told with other ethnicities. If this, you know, this Asian guy had a criminal record as long as my arm, or if this white guy had a criminal record as long as my arm, you know, to kind of rationalize, you know, law enforcement policy failing or law enforcement people not doing the job that they're supposed to do the right way. And that to me is a very, you know, that's kind of Karen and Becky rationale 101, in my opinion, because that's the first page in the playbook whenever something really dubious happens and accountability is being called upon for law enforcement for any policy or anything that an officer may do that, you know, that doesn't meet, you know, that isn't up to snuff in terms of how the job is supposed to be done. That's what happens, particularly with a minority, victim. And, you know, there's always, I mean, that's the playbook. You know, it's happened every instance we've talked about. You know, there's always been a period of time where the crime happens. You know, there's a whole lot of outrage. And the next thing you know, oh, we found, you know, this guy had a speeding ticket back in 1942. So,
I mean, how old was Trayvon when they got him? How old was Mike Brown? I think Tamir Rice is probably the only one I could think about that they didn't try to slander him. But they did say, like, well, he had a gun and he should have been outside playing with it. And what was the cop supposed to do? And the cop's super remorseful. So, like, that's not his fault. He didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, I don't think we're giving them enough credit about how scary we are. You know what I mean? Like, we are scary, guys.
Yeah. Because apparently Mike Brown was about to rip that man's arm off and pull him out the car and stuff. But
I'm scary when it comes to barbecue. I mean,
barbecue. I'm scary on these sticks. You know what I'm saying? Like, come see me on the mat. Yeah.
I mean, if America really wants a peek into racism, they should just live stream all the audio from 12-year-old kids on Xbox Live.
Man, I've been in party chat in 10 years.
I lived in the rural South, and I dealt with customers that called me the N-word to my face like it was my name. And I think I got more empathy and compassion and less racism out of them than I did for most of those kids that you kill on Modern Warfare. Gears of War was that was a dark time. Jesus, I've never been. They've used the N-word as an adjective, an adverb, and a noun, and a pronoun, and all type of stuff. And I was like, that's creative, actually. Like, I'm not even mad at you right now. Like, that's okay, cool. Like, I didn't know that you could hyphenate the N-word with that body part, but cool. Like, that's interesting. But, like, again, Killer Mike says in one of the RTJ4 songs, shout out to RTJ, and Walk in the Snow, that we've become apathetic. Like, we sit here on the couch and we just watch stuff happen, and we've been so desensitized. And he was like, you should be offended because America has taken your sensitivity away from you. They've stolen your sensitivity, your innocence, because you can watch somebody. And mind you, he wrote the song in November or September of last year. And it's talking about police choking somebody out on camera. Again, he could be referring to Eric Garner, you know, from that incident, but we see it happen again.
On some real stuff, man. Voting is so important, and all of this stuff has a lot to do with your local elections, a lot more to do than we act like it does. Everybody asking when Trump's going to respond to things, and I'm more like, when is the local DA going to be held accountable for not bringing charges on these people? Because that's whose job it is. It's not Trump's job to get justice. You know what I mean? He can't even get justice when he's too busy committing crimes. Right now, he's committing a crime. I guarantee. So we're doing the wrong thing when we're looking for him to be the bastion of justice.
Yeah, white people had a whole fight over states' rights. I'm not sure if y'all saw that civil rights whole thing that happened. Like, that was a whole thing about, like, who's in charge of what going on and who can keep who. And you really got to hold your local authorities, your local government accountable. Like, that is something that is, and again, go back to the story of the kids that got pulled out the car. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. And of course, you know, Mayor Keisha, you already know when I say Mayor Keisha, you're like, well, I guess I know Keisha ain't play that. She didn't. And the police chief was like, dang, them charges came out of nowhere. I was surprised. And you're like, why were you surprised? Like, well, we didn't talk about charging those officers. We didn't talk about charging those officers. Like, that was left field. It was out of left field, or she was taken by shock. Because the mayor was like, oh no, nah, we charging them. Do it. And they sidestepped the police chief, and the police chief was like, I found out when y'all found out. So, like, I'm a little offended that I didn't get, if you weren't going to do it, if you're surprised, you weren't going to do it, then you didn't deserve to have the option.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it, because it is important for them to, it's important for them to maintain the status quo of cops being able to exert their will at will.
All the things that people that, you know, that we've just described is, I hope that it's painting a better picture to those who are listening or watching, and that if you're one of those people and you're like, oh, I don't see race or I don't see color. Number one, yes, you do. Everyone sees color. The problem, the issue becomes, what do you do when you see someone who looks different from you? That's the issue. It's not necessarily that you don't see color. It's, you shouldn't. In fact, that's not even the goal. You should see color. We should all appreciate other people who don't look like us, or who are from different cultures and races and all of that, and ethnicities. Like, just go on Ancestry.com and do the whole DNA thing, and we're basically from everywhere. Like, a third of my DNA is from Europe, clearly. But but you know what's funny? That actually leads me into my own story. So I've told the story on Facebook, but just in case you're not Facebook friends with me or whatever, or you weren't on my page. Basically, I want to say around 2006, I went to Tennessee State University. I was in the marching band, the Aristocratic Bands, and I was a section leader. That's the AOB Nation, but you know, as section leaders, we had to come back early, you know, to get in shape ourselves before the freshmen got there and before the upperclassmen got there. So my extended family from Detroit had came down to visit us in Atlanta, and they figured, well, okay, since they're going to drive back up to Detroit, I might as well just go back with them, and they can just drop me off at TSU. I was like, cool, all right. So we get in the car, you know, we're driving, we get to the Tennessee-Georgia border, and we stop at a Waffle House. It was a Waffle House and a Burger King next door. Me and my cousin Mike, who is a lot darker than me, we go into the Waffle House, and he goes into the restroom, and I go sit down at the bar. Right when I sit down, the waitress, who was white, came to me, and, you know, she took my order, right? Mike came out the restroom. He sat down right next to me. Nobody paid him any attention. The same waitress that asked for my order acted like he wasn't even there. And there wasn't even a lot of people. I remember. There wasn't even a lot of people there, because it was like in the middle of the day or something like that. So it's not like there was just a ton of people that she had to take care of. And so after like 10 minutes, he was like, F it, and I'm just going to go to Burger King with my aunt and uncle. So it's kind of weird in a way, because like, because of my lighter skin tone, I guess I was enough for the waitress to take my order, but my cousin wasn't. So it's... And I said on Facebook that I felt kind of guilty, because it's like, well, dang, like, that's my cousin there. Like, we blood related. But it's like, I almost felt like, is this what it's like to be white? You know, right? is this the privilege? But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, don't dismiss what people are saying because you think this is some liberal agenda or something. I see that a lot in Christian circles. Oh, you're just trying to I don't know. You're just trying to cape from some super liberal SJW agenda, and you want communism and Marxism. And I'm like, bro, like, first of all, I ain't liberal. Second, you can't deny there are many conservatives out there, black conservatives, who will tell you what they have experienced. Me and Herb know one of them, Carrie. You know, plenty of black people who don't necessarily lean to the left but are still concerned about social justice, because at the end of the day, it's not about
party lines.
It's not about necessarily, you know, yes, all lives matter. Of course all lives matter, but if one part of that all is being singled out or not being treated fairly, you have to point that out. That's what Black Lives Matter means. It doesn't mean only Black Lives Matter. Duh, that would be hypocritical. Mean
Black Lives Matter more.
Because obviously right. They don't.
You know,
go ahead.
No, I'm real quick. I'll be, you know, just as a side note, I got called a Marxist yesterday. in conversation, you know, because you know, I essentially boils down to me being pretty critical of our current guy that resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and the fact that you know who that is. That's Voldemort. There you go.
You know what? Usually we try to stray away from like talking about number 45, but no, wait, no, stop. This dude, one, and I don't even care right now, because the joint chiefs put out a statement basically contradicting the president. So if they can do it, I can do it. So this man sat up there and he gave a speech to, you know, of course, that he's the law and order president. And then right after that speech, in front of the Rose Garden, walked to the St. John's Church, and then, but in order to get there, he had the protesters that were there,
basically bombs, and then shot him with pepper balls.
Yeah, pepper balls.
And I'm like, wait, you do all of this, and then what does he do? He goes up and stands in front of the church and holds up a Bible. Like,
you
what?
Can tell that,
like,
was the first time he even held that Bible.
In fact, they asked him, they were like, is that your Bible? And he was like, it's a Bible. Like, you know, at least you, I was angry.
Yeah, I mean, as a vet, and Dominique can echo this a bit. As a vet, seeing that speech, I mean, that had to be, you know, 5 or 10 of the most idiotic minutes I've ever seen, honestly. You're president, commander in chief, and you're talking about mobilizing United States military assets against United States civilians on United States soil. And on top of that, you're referencing some 1807 insurrectionist piece of legislation that was used during slavery and to prevent rebellions. Like, this is a rebellion. No, it's not, you moron. It's not a rebellion. It's a First Amendment right for people to protest. And, you know, just watching
you say that, and then what are people going to counter with? They're going to be like, no, he was talking about the looters and the rioters and the people setting buildings on fire. You know, he's trying to make sure that they don't, you know, that they don't tear up more property. That's what they're going to say. And I'm going to be like, okay, I understand it's the responsibility of the government to protect life and property. I get that. But at the same time, as the president of the United States, it's also your responsibility to bring the country together and understand your constituents. Your constituents are not just conservatives. Your constituents are everybody in the country, because you represent literally the entire country. Therefore, you need to make sure that you take a more conciliatory tone and try to understand what people are saying, why they're angry. Even my pastor, right? I go to a predominantly white conservative church, and even my pastor was like, look, don't dismiss what people are doing just because they're looting. You need to see the heart behind it. You need to see the reasoning behind it. Even if he gets it, why in the world? No, it's like, you don't have to necessarily, and I say this all the time, you don't have to agree with what everyone is saying. You don't. No, you're not responsible. You don't have to agree with everyone, but you are responsible to listen and to try to understand what people are saying instead of just dismissing them. And that's where I could go on a rant for like an hour just talking about that. But that just pissed me off when I saw that. I'm like, bro.
Well, quite frankly, that's the what you're talking about is the way the Republican Party has been governing pretty much since Bush, which is, we know they like, it's not an opinion, right? There are more liberal leaning people in the country than there are conservatives. That's not an opinion, but we know that they've consolidated power with gerrymandering and other voter suppression laws, right? They've found a way to secure, as long as they keep their base happy, they'll have a good shot at winning enough elections that they'll keep power, right? So the idea, I could easily see the Republicans holding 60, 65 seats in the Senate. There is no map that's drawn that the Democrats can hold that many seats just because of how gerrymandered everything is, and how, you know, not today as we look at the voting map today, right? So it's they've been governing. I know it's not a political podcast, but they have been governing for their base. They've been governing for straight white men and you know, Christian conservative people. That's who they make laws and policies for. They're not trying to reach across the aisle and get stuff. Whenever they're not in power, they just obstruct. Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
Yep,
it's already past 9 on my end, so we're gonna have to wrap this up. But you know, I had to say something. Yeah. Ryan, that pissed me off. Sure. Say something. and I know Herb was mad about it as a vet. So it's like, but yeah, anyways, all right. Let me just go ahead and wrap up by saying that for those who are watching or listening, just. I really want you to listen to what was being said, and you know, don't necessarily, you know, if you're more conservative, or if you think this is just some SJW agenda, like, listen to what people are saying and try to understand from their point of view. And that's all we really ask. Honestly, it's just for people to listen. That's what I tell people. Just sit down and listen. That's it. And maybe you mm-hmm. maybe you might just learn something, but. Anyways, just to kind of wrap up, and I meant to do this earlier, but if you want to follow more, if you want to discuss this more, feel free to join us at the Black Techies Collective on Facebook. Just search for the Black Techies Collective. You'll get there, actually, and like our Facebook group, because, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, let's see if you've already hit 600 likes. So when I checked, before we started the podcast, we started recording, we were at 597 likes. I'm trying to see, did we actually hit, of course, Chrome uses freeze. But,
got a little technology.
I know, right? It's like, why would you want to do something? Oh, no, it's still at 597. But yeah, go ahead and like the Facebook page so we can get to 600. We grew a lot, actually. Maybe it's because of recent events that people are more willing to support, you know, Black content creators or whatever. But yeah, in that vein though, subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to us with your favorite podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all of them. We're basically everywhere. I say that every time on my own YouTube channel, Just Processing, that we're basically everywhere. Subscribe to me, like I said, Just Processing on YouTube. Basically, I take a different topic and try to see different aspects of it. I just put out my review of the Galaxy Book S. Highly recommend you watch it, especially if you're in the market for a laptop or at least a lightweight laptop. Don't go into it thinking you're going to be coding or playing a bunch of games on it. I think that's about it. Any last comments before we head on out?
Yeah. Just for those folks out there that, you know, support us and listen to our podcast, again, you know, I'd be remiss to say thank you. Leave a positive review, please. Thank you. I mean, we really enjoy being able to share our viewpoint, you know, with an audience. And in these times, it's really important to be very appreciative of being able to have a platform to talk about these issues and to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think I can speak for everybody on the panel. Thank you. Thank you very much for supporting us. You continue to support us. We'll continue to crank out content and to do our best to give you, you know, really entertainment and really entertaining stuff to listen to. So mm-hmm. thanks a lot. Stay safe. You know, yeah. Thanks a lot. Stay safe. You know, don't hit up no stores that you ain't supposed to while you're out there. Please don't. Please don't. But at the end of the day, you know, we want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to take what's going on, you know, absorb what's going on, and, you know, help to make the change that's necessary.
All right.
I can hear
it. Unless Roberto then he wants to say, we can let Dominique close us out.
Well, look, I'll be real brief. And I know that my wife is probably listening in the other room. They're like, he ain't never brief. But I will be brief, honey. I know you can hear me. First of all, shout out to John Boyega, because for speaking about platforms, he was out giving a speech and Star Wars thankfully backed him and was like, don't worry about it. We got you. Because he was crying and he said, I don't know if I'll have a career after this, but F it. And gave a moving speech about us protecting our Black women and protecting our kids and linking together and stop allowing people to take and not stand up for what you believe in and not have our allies stand up with us. And for you to think about somebody that's been in a couple of billion-dollar movies, and he's really like, if I speak up about somebody being murdered on camera, I may not get another job. For him to have that worry, and for me to think to myself, like, man, maybe I shouldn't post that because I don't want to get fired for me just saying, like, Black Lives Matter. Or I don't want to get fired for me being honest about how I feel about anything. It's not fiery rhetoric. It's not like I'm out there telling people to, you know, murder people. I'm just like, if you have to push your friends who are not Black to stand up with you, you may need to reevaluate the title that you give them. If you have to be laborious in your pursuit of your friend's support, that is not your friend. You may be their friend. And like we saw in the locker room, we saw a lot of them people like, well, I thought Drew Brees is my boy. I guess not. It is too easy to be informed in this age where everything is available at your fingertips. For you to be ignorant at this point is willful ignorance. And that is just the height of privilege of like Cam Jordan said, he asked one of his coaches, he's like, so what, you know, the coach was like, I barely put on CNN. I just leave it on Disney because I don't want my kids to see. Once you turn off the TV, you don't have to deal with it unless you look like us. And every day, and I think this is the reason why it doesn't matter if it's a preacher, a saint, a martyr like Martin Luther King that shot down, or a person with a questionable past like Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd, where they're still trying to smear their names. To other people, we are all the same, even though we are very diverse in our thoughts and very diverse in our attitude. And there's a lot of Black people on my Facebook right now that are completely against any of the rioting, any of the protests. And there are people in there that have been playing Burn Baby Burn every morning. So be mindful of the people you surround yourself with, and please be mindful of your mental health. Please. It is exhausting being Black. It is exhausting dealing with a pandemic because it's still there. Just because I know y'all feel like it's hot and you can put your little shouts on, you can go outside. It ain't no more pandemic, but it is. Be mindful of how you feel and protect your peace. and make sure that you check on your Black friends, check in with each other. You need diversity. You need those windows to look out and to see what's there, but you also need the mirrors to reflect on with your own people. So, you know, stay safe, stay healthy, and I'm gonna shut up.
You were right. You're not very good at being brief, but it's all good. Those were all good words. I'm gonna be brief, and then I'm gonna let you. You can rewatch this later, and you can hear what brief is. I'm just kidding, dog. I'm just kidding. Yeah, man. I want everybody to go get informed about November. It is very important, and I'm not saying just go down ballot blue, even though. be informed. Know who you're voting for. But definitely go vote. It is important. It will change things. It might not change it the next day, but little by little, they will start seeing that their extreme opposite views of yours are not winning them elections, which means they're losing power, and power is what they respond to. And then they will start changing their behavior, right? The Democrats used to be the Republicans. So all it is is a power change. It doesn't matter what color your team wears. It just matters who has the policies that are best suited for you and your life and your people and people that look like you and other people of color and, you know, people, basically everybody who's not like the super rich, right? So I'll let y'all determine which party that is. I'm not gonna tell you which way to vote, but just know that every day we wake up. First of all, have a great week. Everybody that listens to this, have a great week. Go be great. Do something for somebody. Pay it forward. All that good stuff. And just know that every time you go to sleep and wake up, you're closer and closer to Dave and Herb's boss not being y'all president.
Stop it.
All right, and on that note, hail Wakanda.
Hail Wakanda.